Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining me on the Bullpen Report, part of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Dan Thompson. Today is Saturday, May 31st, and we're taking a look ahead at some of this weekend's free agent bidding for closers and saves. There's some big news to cover that should result in some of the more aggressive bids we'll see this season for a relief pitcher in free agency. So for that, we go to San Francisco. On Wednesday, the Giants announced that former closer Camilo Doval was returning to the role, replacing Ryan Walker. Rarely do we get such clarity on a ninth inning role change. There's no speculation here. It's happening. It's already happened. What makes this situation unique is that it doesn't follow the more common pattern, which is that the established closer hits a rough patch, and then they get Wally pipped by some rising relief ace. Instead, we have the opposite in San Francisco. It was last year's late season breakout closer, who is out, Ryan Walker, replaced now with a former All-Star with almost 100 career saves. This move isn't completely unexpected. Ryan Walker has had his struggles this year, possibly related to a back injury that kept him out for a few days earlier in the season. Either way, doesn't look like the same guy he was in 2024. But Bob Melvin had shown great patience with him in the ninth inning, and Walker had been pitching better of late. Over his last six appearances, Ryan Walker had thrown six innings. He'd allowed just one run, three hits, a couple walks, only four strikeouts, but he had three consecutive saves in that time frame. Not dominant, certainly good enough to keep his job, or so you'd think. So why then does Camilo Doval replace him in the ninth inning right now? It could have something to do with a 1.09 ERA, a 0.73 whip, and a 19 and a third inning scoreless streak. Maybe. In this time, Doval has allowed only four hits. Yes, that's four hits in 19 and a third innings. He has a 20-6 strikeout to walk ratio. Obviously pitching really, really well for a while now. But how does everything else look under the hood? Some signs aren't great, others are. The number that really stands out is a 153 BABIP, you know, batting average on balls in play. That's almost 140 points below his career mark of 290. So that should be due for some serious regression. Doval has also yet to allow a home run. Now, he's been excellent over his career at generating ground balls. You know, he's been over 50% the last four seasons. He's doing it this year. Doval's skill set supports a low home run rate, just not zero. The strikeout rate for Camilo Doval currently sits at 24.2%. It's about 5 points below his career rate, which is about 29. But after a really middling 18.5% strikeout rate in March and April, Doval has struck out 32% of batters in May. The May walk rate has risen over 10%, which is about a match to his career rate. It's kind of an uncomfortable number for any pitcher. Doval has allowed a contact rate around 71%, the swinging strike rate about 13%. Those are great numbers. They do fall a little short of elite. But right now, we can say Camilo Doval is back to the previous heights of his career from 2022-2023. But we also have to remember that even during that time, 22 and 23, Camilo Doval always felt a little shaky, a little like he could fall apart at any time, mostly due to the control. So who is he? He's a ground ball pitcher with an electric arm, but erratic control. Sometimes they pitch like Edwin Diaz. Sometimes they pitch like Alexis Diaz. So let's bid on Doval responsibly, but with the understanding that the circumstances, you know, a proven closer coming back to the role with clarity, that's going to require a large bid. In NFBC formats, I fully expect a lot of triple-digit bids. in the 20% of 12-team online championship leagues where Camilo Doval is available. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, even after a couple months of the season, to see max bids surpass $200. In most leagues, I'd start with a bid in the low hundreds and assume it won't be enough. So if you really need saves and you think Doval is that guy, go big if you want him. But if listening to this podcast and reading my article and, you know, just the experience of literally decades of fantasy seasons before this have taught us anything, let it be that there's always money in the banana stand. I mean, there's always saves on the waiver wire. Dropping triple digits on Doval will still likely help many teams that do it, but could still leave them worse off than saving that money for smaller bids, like maybe some other guys whose names will be mentioned soon. For now, to Texas. Bruce Bochy officially removed Luke Jackson from the closer role on Monday. No official replacement was named, but lefty Robert Garcia has recorded the last two normal saves for the Rangers. There was a three-inning save last night. We're not concerned about those. In my May 14th written article of the Bullpen Report, I had made Robert Garcia my save spec of the week at a time when Luke Jackson and Chris Martin were unavailable due to injuries. Now, Jackson is out as the closer. Martin is still out injured. So I'm holding to my conviction that Garcia is the most talented arm in the bullpen. He would be my personal favorite for saves in Texas for the rest of the season, barring a trade. More Texas bringing someone in than trading Garcia out. I'll be placing bids on Robert Garcia this weekend, and I do recommend him as an option for saves. Albeit, you know, not in the same class as Camilo Doval or even close, because, you know, we need to be realistic about what to expect. Garcia is talented, but he's not a dominant pitcher. The biggest obstacle, though, is that he's left-handed. You know, the bias against left-handed closers is real. We should not ignore it, especially from an old-school type manager like Bruce Bochy. So I don't see Robert Garcia as the sole closer anytime soon. I'd expect guys like Sean Armstrong to be a factor, like he was while picking up a couple saves a few weeks ago. So Armstrong could be thrown at the end of bidding queues for a few dollars. A name like Jacob Webb could vulture a save at some point. There are other options. That's what I'm getting at here. So while I like Robert Garcia, we shouldn't be spending a lot to add him on Sunday. On to Miami again, where that carousel just keeps on spinning. After Ronnie Enriquez was a surprising fourth name out of the Goblet of Fire, and he picked up a save last Sunday, Calvin Fauché has the Marlins' only save this week. And really, that's the problem right there. Miami generates few save chances. They don't win a lot of games. And the saves they do have are divided between four different relievers, none of whom are actually steady or reliable options. Now, saves are saves. I know we need to get them from wherever we can. But this Miami bullpen is teetering on that precipice above the White Sox and Rockies bullpens where you just avoid them completely. Now, you can always bid on whoever you think is the closer du jour in Miami, but keep the cost low and keep those expectations in check. To the LA Angels now. And I've talked about Robert Stevenson and his return from Tommy John surgery. I actually wrote him up on Wednesday's Bullpen Report article this week as my save spec of the week, more for the long term. He's not someone we need to bid on now. I do want to make that clear. But Stevenson made his first appearance this week since 2023, and it was impressive. A single inning is the tiniest of samples. We should never overreact to small samples like that. The point, though, wasn't the results, which was a perfect inning with a couple strikeouts. We just needed to see what kind of stuff does Robert Stevenson have coming back from such a long layoff, and can he succeed with it? And I think that answer should be a resounding yes. We saw just a couple four-seamers, but they were at 98 miles per hour. What Stevenson relied on, though, were 12 cutters that averaged almost 3,000 RPMs. I mean, that's an incredible number. 3,000 is rare. So the stuff looked great, and that's a fantastic start for Stevenson. The bad news, though, is that he left last night's game after three pitches with bicep soreness. It's not related to his elbow. That's encouraging. But of course, you never want to see a pitcher leave the mound mid-inning with any type of injury. It seems like he's only day-to-day. The bicep isn't a concern. We've heard that kind of thing before from players and managers. The only way to believe it is to actually see him get back on the mound. He'll probably still need time to sharpen his command and improve his effectiveness, but the stuff is intact. That's a great start. And that possible opportunity for saves could still arise later if or when, you know, Kenley Jansen is traded. Now, let's stay in L.A., but move over to the Dodgers. Without Kirby Yates, Blake Treinen, Michael Kopech, and Evan Phillips, who's now out for the season with elbow surgery, this was supposed to be Tanner Scott's time to shine. He should have had very little competition for saves minus all those big right-handed arms. But instead, he's allowed multiple earned runs in three of his last six outings. He's blown three of those games. Last night, he threw just two pitches, getting out of a jam in the eighth inning, but was not brought back out for the ninth. That opportunity went to Alex Vesia instead, and Vesia converted. He got outs from Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, Paul Goldschmidt, so that was impressive. Now, I don't think we need to panic on Tanner Scott. You know, this season, he's flashing career-best control. He's got 28 strikeouts against only three walks. He's just been more hittable than normal. But we also don't need to rush out and grab Alex Vesia. You know, he can sit at the end of a bid waterfall for a dollar or two. But Kirby Yates is throwing off a mound again. Michael Kopech is working his way back. He's on a rehab assignment. So at least a couple of the high-leverage righties are nearing returns. And those guys could become contributors in the ninth inning. We're probably heading back to a timeshare situation where, you know, Tanner Scott is still the favorite for saves most days, but Yates or Kopech or whoever is pitching best at the time will handle a lesser share. So if you're going to speculate on anybody in the Dodgers bullpen right now, I would probably make it Kirby Yates. The cost shouldn't be too high while he's still on the IL, and once he's back, maybe a week or two, you know, he could be a guy that offers solid ratios and strikeouts and can maybe get a save every week or two. Now let's make a quick stop with the Chicago Cubs, where Daniel Palencia has locked down that closer job with his recent run of four straight saves. He's only available in 8% of the NFBC OC leagues, so he's likely widely owned on other platforms as well. But if he's available in your league, go out and get him if you need saves. I still have my doubts that he's a long-term solution for the Cubs. You never know. Even if he only holds it down for another few weeks, a month, that's all it takes to provide a nice profit for a guy we get off the waiver wire. Now, we'll end today again in Arizona. Not a lot to go on here. You know, Justin Martinez has still pitched in only a couple of games since his return from the injured list. The first was an eighth inning blown save. The most recent was a scoreless outing, but it was also in the eighth inning. He hasn't pitched the ninth yet, and he hasn't pitched since May 26th. So we don't know whether he's going to handle the ninth inning again soon or whether it might take some more time. I still believe Martinez ultimately ends up in the ninth inning and would push Shelby Miller back to a setup role. But unless we see something more definitive this weekend, we can keep starting Shelby Miller. And maybe even pick him up on the cheap if anyone has dropped him in your league. We can do that at least until Martinez passes him by. So that is a wrap this Saturday. Good luck on all your free agency bids and chasing saves. You've been listening to the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Let's close it out.